This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Mary Louise Kelly. In the new movie Stone, actor Edward Norton plays the kind of guy you don't take home to meet mom and dad. He's a convicted arsonist doing time, but he's up for parole, which means he has to convince his parole officer, played by Robert De Niro, that he's a changed man. Norton's character, named Stone Creason, doesn't start out with much faith in the process.
You just setting them up so they can flop me, man. So you write what you're gonna write, and let's just get on with it,
hey,
man. Because I take the flop.
Stone.
Man, go ahead. Max
son,
me.
Calm down.
Max me. You don't think I did? I see that Max standing on my
Stone.
Man, man. I see you outside before you see me.
Stone!
That's the first time these two meet, and it's your first glimpse of Stone Creason, a disturbed and disturbing man. Edward Norton plays him with prison tattoos and cornrows and eyes so cold with malice it makes the hairs on your neck stand up. Edward Norton's come in to talk about the movie. Glad to have you.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Let me just let listeners in a little bit on what happens in the plot so they can follow
yeah.
this. Stone Creason, the character you're playing, he is a manipulative character,
yes.
and he uses his wife, played by the stunning Mila Jovovich, to seduce his parole officer so that he can then try to blackmail him. Is that the idea?
Yes, yeah. and he's so anxious about the review process and about his upcoming parole opportunity that his wife, who loves him very much and is willing to do almost anything, he literally sends her at De Niro's character to seduce him. And I think that's where the film starts to become interesting, because even as he is scrambling to do whatever he thinks he needs to do and say, the interactions between the three of them start becoming increasingly complicated, because what seems like it's at first just a plot starts to become, in everybody's case, sort of an authentic inverting of their positions in the conversation.
I want to play, we have a bit of the movie that gets at the tension between your character, the convicted felon, and the seeming nice guy, the law-abiding, church-going parole officer. This is a bit where Stone is talking to De Niro's parole officer, and he's getting fed up with trying to prove that he has, in fact, reformed.
I think I deserve to be free. I do.
Why? Because you did the time? That's it? You ready? And now you're a clean slate?
I'm clean as anybody, man. I'm clean as you.
Well, maybe, maybe not.
Seriously, let me ask you something, you know? Why you get to sit there like asking me these questions like you never done nothing? I mean, why you get to walk around free and I don't?
I wasn't convicted of a crime.
Oh, you never did anything bad. Never did anybody no wrong. Had to be forgiven for nothing.
I never broke the law.
What, you never got a speeding ticket? You never backed somebody up in a bar fight in Vietnam? You never killed some kid? No, come on, man. Come on. How long you get to keep judging a person for one bad thing they done?
You've worked with a lot of amazing actors in your career. I know this is not your first time working with Robert De Niro, but is there a tiny piece of you that still, when you wake up in the morning working on a film like this, just gets goosebumps thinking, I get to walk on the set today and go head-to-head with Robert De Niro?
I think, I have a really deep appreciation for him as an actor, and I think for me the thrill or the appeal was, as we sat down to talk about this and I began to realize that he was really invested in this, that he was going to dig in really deep and go at it I got a blooming sense of excitement, because I knew it was going to be an opportunity, a very rare opportunity, to really play out these scenes that in which you're trying to create dramatic tension out of nothing more than two people talking.
Well, and what's the process? A lot of the movie is scenes of just tightly shot the two of you talking back and forth over a desk. How much rehearsal are you doing? How much do you talk about it before you go in and the cameras start rolling?
For a variety of reasons, we did a lot of talking in the months beforehand, just a lot of dissection of the script. It's very allegorical in some ways. It's very... There's a lot of deep undercurrents in it. And so I think De Niro and I both wanted to sort of go away on our own and investigate the specifics of these characters. So then we weren't together for quite a while. And then really we didn't rehearse the scenes per se. De Niro really didn't want to see me. He didn't want to see this guy or hear his voice. He didn't want to hear any of it until we sat down
oh, really?
In the chair and started rolling. So actually the first scene, the first day, John set the cameras up.
John Curran, the director.
Yeah. And he rolled, and I came in and sat down, and we started, and it was great.
What made it tough to nail down the way that your character was going to talk in this film?
He was vague in the script to me. It was originally set in the South, and John wanted to set the film in Detroit very specifically. He had this notion of Detroit as a great landscape of a place that was a pillar of assumptions about America and that is now in decay in many ways. And, you know, I went into a prison north of Detroit and started interviewing guys who were from Southwest Detroit or East Side Detroit who came out of the gang culture or who had been involved in the drug trade. And once we pinned down a few guys that we thought really had a lot to offer, we asked them to read the whole script. And it was very, I have to admit, I found it very poignant. Like, these guys, I don't think have a lot of people talk to them about their own personal experiences in life. I don't think people express a lot of interest in them. I don't think in the routine of their day, they don't get asked to do much that's creative, to be honest.
To provide input on a big Hollywood movie.
And they came back, they both came back the next day. They had not only read the script overnight, they had written reams and reams of notes and thoughts, and it was really quite an experience. And John and I jettisoned 60% of the specific dialogue that was in the script, because what these guys brought back was so good in terms of the phrases and the vernacular and their insights into, oh, you'd never say this, you would say this, or telling us stories about, actually the clip you played where Stone kind of blows up and threatens to leave the room came out of one of these guys telling us that he had self-destructed in a parole interview and tried to walk out of the room.
Walk me through, Edward Norton, what makes you take a role? I guess I'm trying to see what the line is that gets you to Stone. In the past few years, you've done a couple of costume period dramas. Mm-hmm. You've done The Incredible Hulk. Square that for me.
Well, the great thing about films is how plastic they are. They encompass so many different kinds of stories and ideas. And I can be drawn into doing something just for the experience of making a different kind of film than I've made before. I mean, a film with a lot of digital effects was a very different experience for me. I learned a lot.
As an actor.
I learned a lot about making films. But I think, I guess if there's a deeper thread of interest that connects through some of the things I've done, it's that if I read it and I feel like I recognize things that it's talking about in me and my friends around me, if I read it and feel like it's naming things that I've experienced but never had a name for, that's appealing to me, because I think the experience of films like that can be special for people, because they're not always the ones that are entertaining, they're not always ones that are commercial, but they're the ones that kind of linger in your brain and make you realize like that something about the way we were living got caught in it.
That's the actor Edward Norton. His latest movie is called Stone. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.